Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the conclusion of our Uncanny Treks coverage of John Ridley and Hermaine Peralta's Black Panther run. We are looking at Volume 3, All This and the World 2. Matt, is this issues 11 through 15? Is that right?
That is correct.
Yes. So I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how the hell are you doing tonight?
Doing okay. A little sad that this Black Panther little excursion we've taken is coming to an end.
Yeah, I was actually shocked that we're at the end of it. And I guess we can talk about this more at the end of the podcast, about the end of the run. It does feel complete. It doesn't necessarily feel as cut off early. But when I read the first two, I guess I just assumed there would be a bit more. But yeah, the third trade just wraps it all. When I had initially pitched this, I just figured we'd keep checking in on it as new trades came out.
I'm wondering if they're going to do some kind of sequel to this.
They are. They're launching a new Black Panther comic this summer. I think Eve Ewing is the writer. I don't really know her stuff, but I think she's written Ironheart. She wasn't the first person to write Ironheart, but I think she has written an Ironheart series. It is rare to see like a big writer do a run on a character and then leave it so open. That just feels rare to me. It feels like these days people more tend to go for conclusions. I don't know if you read Daredevil back in the day, but when Brian Bendis ended his run on Daredevil, he ended it on a big cliffhanger. When he passed it off to Ed Brubaker, and then Ed Brubaker ended his on a big cliffhanger and passed it off to Andy Diggle. And I don't think Diggle's ended on a cliffhanger, but it was funny that there was a minor Daredevil tradition of the writer does the craziest thing they can think of at the end of the run. And then it's like, okay, next guy, have fun with it.
Enjoy.
As I mentioned, John Ridley's a writer again. Hermaine Peralta, who was not around in the first trade, but was around in the second trade, is the artist for all five of these issues. And so in issue number 11, we have mysterious terrorist with cryptic but benign demands seize the three data centers in Reno, Wells, and Osaka that handled the vast majority of internet transmissions. Plan mostly seems calculated to make Captain America look an ass.
That's a big thing I've got from this whole series, is that Captain America is an ass. I knew it before, but this just gave me some more, just fed the fire.
Did it feel like a little different than, because Cap in the first two volumes felt like he was in a little bit of tension with T'Challa or the Panther, both for political reasons and just because of I'm worried about you, bro, sort of stuff. But here I don't care because I find it funny. But here he does just come off like stupid.
Oh, yeah. In this particular set we're looking at now, he just at T'Challa about every mistake T'Challa's ever made in his whole damn, doesn't give the dude any credit at all for anything he's ever done. Sorry, Cap. Yeah. You're not the man.
Not only am I disappointed in Captain America for being an ass to our guy, the Black Panther, I'm really disappointed in the terrorists. They take control of the internet, but they just keep control. They don't destroy it. Come on, destroy the devil.
Now, that would be very peaceful now, would it?
The result would be peaceful. We would all be much more peaceful if the terrorists had just pushed the button and destroyed the internet.
If the internet was destroyed, everything would go into chaos. Yeah. It'd be Mad Max.
Our logistics would collapse and we would all go through withdrawals. I would suffer withdrawals from my memes. Eventually, society would reorganize and we'd all be healthier, saner people.
This is the second time I've done this in the last couple of weeks, but there's a legit South Park episode about this that it shows you what happens when you kill the internet.
Unless it's an earthly paradise, I'm not interested in seeing this episode.
No, it's not an earthly paradise. How would we be doing the podcast now, Bob, if there's no...
Look, I'm not saying things of value wouldn't be lost. You'd have your Saturday afternoons back, Matt. You wouldn't be editing the podcast anymore.
There you go.
Don't you want the mysterious terrorist to free you and give you your Saturday afternoons back?
So I can streaming on my... What? I won't have streaming anymore because I don't have
the internet. You won't have streaming.
So what am I supposed to do, Bob? Go outside? I don't do that.
Joe Biden saying, quote, "This is America. Nobody tells us to live freely and in peace," was pretty great. I love that.
Yeah, I always appreciate when Marvel and DC use the current presidents in their comics.
My one caveat is that I appreciate it when... I feel like they need to do two things. They need to not show the president's face. His face needs to be above the frame, or the frame needs to be over his shoulder. And it needs to be funny. It doesn't need to be serious. Yeah. When they do it seriously, it's terrible. But yeah, when they do it humorously, it's great. My favorite Black Panther run, the Christopher Priest run, they use Bill Clinton a few times in it. It's very funny.
Yeah, I remember seeing Reagan in some issues and both Bushes, and it's entertaining when they do.
The great moment in the Suicide Squad where Waller chews out Reagan for cutting money to social programs and the closing insane asylums. It's great. Were you surprised by the big reveal that the Panther's old friend, who he apparently murdered, Jai, is the one leading our internet terror?
The only thing that surprised me from the beginning was that Jai is this new character that we were introduced in this. So I'm supposed to believe over the course of this 15-issue arc that he really meant something to when he'd never been brought up before.
But the sleeper, man.
I get it.
It is interesting how Ridley chooses to handle the Panther supporting cast, because Panther does have a supporting cast, but other than Shuri, he mostly doesn't use the existing supporting cast.
Right.
And instead, we'll go over the list of all the new characters later, but so many new characters in this run. It's a really interesting creative.
They do make appearances, but they're just not important to the plot, I guess.
Like his mother or the Dora Milaje or the Hot Zozaz, none of them are that important. To switch ahead to issue 12, we have a revealing himself to be a Wakandan exceptionalist. And his plan is to make Panther the ruler of a universal Wakanda. So Wakanda ruling the Earth, uniting with the intergalactic empire of Wakanda, and eventually ruling the universe.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
It sounds like it would decrease the risk of nuclear war and climate catastrophe, which I'm all for. I do think my favorite page of the whole trade is you have Jai standing over a beaten and bloody Panther and begging him to stand up and take the world throne. It was a really cool moment, really cool image.
Sure, very powerful, yes.
So one of Jai's terrorists, Harahi, remains loyal to the Panther and allows the Panther to escape, but then he immediately slits his own throat. Were you surprised by that?
Not really, because we have to ensure that T'Challa feels as much guilt about his choices, and what better way to do it than to have a loyal servant blow their brains out right in front of you.
You're right. He shoots himself. He doesn't cut his own throat. Does seem to be. Panther, I would say, is not a character who usually suffers from a lot of guilt, because that's mostly the thing that drives Marvel characters like Hulk and Spider-Man and Iron Man is guilt. That's never really been the Black Panther's back. And it just feels in this run, John Ridley's, but it could be.
Yeah, there's just guilt everywhere for him.
You get a great line from the Panther to Cap, though. He says, I find it hard to believe that a man who calls himself Captain America doesn't understand putting country above all else.
So, yeah, that is a great line. As an American, am I supposed to agree with Captain America through all of this or not?
I think you're supposed to not agree with him. Themes of this are sort of similar to Jason Aaron's Avengers, which is happening concurrently with it. And in the early stages of T'Challa becomes the chairman of the Avengers, which America reacts really negatively to, not America as in Captain America, but America, the nation, reacts really negatively to. And so they build up the Squadron Supreme as their mildly racist counter to the Avengers. But in that series, Cap supports Black Panther, unquestionably. Where in this series, it more just feels like they're using Cap as the stooge rather than having a different American government stooge. Does that make sense?
He's totally a stooge in this. He's unlikable 100%.
In the Jason Aaron Avengers role, the stooge role is more played by Phil Coulson. Although, I'm going to go ahead and spoil something, because I don't know if we'll ever actually read the Jason Aaron Avengers run, just because it's so long. But you find out, spoilers for that run, you find out about midway through that run that Phil Coulson has sold his soul to Mephisto.
So that's why he's an ass.
We get a nice recap of the prior two volumes, and Panther and Shuri recruit basically all of the new characters, as well as Gentle, who was a pre-existing X-Men character. But they recruit Gentle and all these other new characters from this run to go and fight Jai, so we get Buffalo Soldier, we get Tosin, we get Umala, we get the Prime Minister's aide, and we get the three ex-captives of the colonialists. I really did enjoy the line from one of the three ex-captives that was, death to the fascist insect that preys upon the life of the... So Matt, who are you most excited to see return, and who are you the least excited to see return?
I was excited to see the return of Buffalo Soldier, because I thought he was a really great character in that last volume we read. And I was glad that Tosin didn't play a huge part in this whole story, but I feel he will have something if they do a sequel to this.
I completely agree with you, which depresses me. Makes for bad radio. I should be able to fight you and be like, no, it's Gentle. But yeah. No, Buffalo Soldier rocks. I love Buffalo Soldier. And yeah, Tosin is very boring, very underdeveloped. I could see Tosin being a central character, or I could see him not being in it at all.
It'd just be a mistake they made and said, let's forget it. He's there.
In theory, the idea of a guy who's trying to do third positionism about Wakanda is interesting, right? Neither is monarchy nor the prime minister's democracy. He's just so vague that I can't find him interesting.
Yeah, he's very boring.
In issue number 13, the Panthers team encounters the newly hostile Avengers. So we had three teased matchups. We have Captain America versus Black Panther. We have Captain Marvel versus Buffalo Soldier, and we have Thor versus Shuri. Of those three, which one were you the more excited to see?
I love the idea of Captain Marvel versus Buffalo Soldier, just because Captain Marvel's supposed to be this superpowered being that can just do whatever. Buffalo Soldier, we don't really know the limits of his powers at this point, so I don't think that. I was more interested to see where that would go. I did expect it to be more epic. overall,
I will say that this was kind of disappointing, right? They show a little bit of Cap versus Panther, but they don't show anything really of Captain Marvel versus Buffalo Soldier or Thor versus Shuri. And both of those are really cool fights. They could have spent a whole issue just swapping between the three fights or something, right?
Maybe it was cut for time.
It's a shame. If this had just been one more issue, that would have really tied it together a lot. I agree with you. Just the visual contrast of Captain Marvel and Buffalo Soldier is interesting. And we've seen Captain America versus Black Panther before, but it's a cool matchup, so it's always nice. So, Matt, were you surprised that good old Namor showed up and on the side of Wakanda?
That was one of my favorite visuals, having Namor's appearance in this issue where there's an explosion and then it's followed by Namor standing over Black Panther and him just going, Namor? With a question mark.
That's a great climax for issue 13. Even though the lack of the fights that they tease in issue 13 were disappointing, having that as the climax was nice.
Namor was an interesting ally in this comic, and it was just a good way to create the tension.
It's the thing where they haven't emphasized it that much recently, but Namor and Black Panther still hate each other because Atlantis and Wakanda went to war, and Namor did cause a tidal wave to sweep over Wakanda, much like in the film, and
right.
Kill a lot of Wakandans. So yeah, they deeply hate each other, which is sort of apparent in the comic, but they don't really get into the full details of why they have so much history and so much loathing. In issue number 14, the Wakandan Prime Minister reveals that she's negotiated a new alliance with Atlantis after that devastating war I just alluded to. More Wakanda's new protector, and it annuls the Panther's Wakandan citizenship, putting him on the run. So Matt, is negotiating this alliance with Atlantis the first capable or interesting thing the Prime Minister has done after appearing in 13 other comics?
More is like way cooler than I ever gave him credit for.
As a kind of random note, did Tosin powering up visually remind you of Static?
Yeah, he did. And that wasn't very cool. Yes, I like Static. Yeah. I don't want a clone of him in Marvel.
Issue number 15, it offers to let the Panther execute him to resume his role from Namor as Wakanda's protector, but the Panther can't bring himself to do it. Fortunately, Umala can.
Yeah, she's savage, Bob.
Yeah, that was a great image, too, that stroke where we see that she both beheads Jai and cuts off a couple of his fingers in one stroke of the sword. That was great.
And then she brings his head out to Black Panther.
Yeah. Well, you're getting it, buddy.
He's definitely dead. You need proof.
So I did pick up on this in issue 14, but in issue 15, man, Namor is in full Trump mode. The line is, speaking of T'Challa, some king couldn't even bring himself to kill his enemy. Sad.
That's the exact voice I heard. I heard Trump's voice saying it. And it just, like, the first time I read it, I was, oh, wow. That sounds like some weird tweet.
I'm here for this. I hope Eve Ewing and whoever else is writing Namor in the future keeps going with this, because Trump Namor is awesome. That's so funny. So we end, as we've noted before, on a cliffhanger, right? We've got Namor promising to always keep the peace with Wakanda, which ensures the Panther's exile, setting us up for the Eve Ewing run where the Panther is exiled from Wakanda.
I do see a decent sequel in the future, but you're right. They did set this up for the next writer to come in and not really have much directions pretty much already set.
All I can say is I hope she really brings back the Buffalo Soldier, and I hope she forgets Tosin and the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister's aide exist. Those are my requests.
Keep Submariner.
Keep Trump Namor. Keep Buffalo Soldier. Umala's cool. What do you think? Did you still enjoy this run, or did you find this last volume a little anticlimactic?
Okay, the last volume was anticlimactic, yes, but as a whole, of all 15 issues, it's pretty good, Bob. I really enjoy just visiting Wakanda and the way it's set up, and then you had just how many different pieces there are. You have the beginning with the sleeper agents, you have Namor showing up in that last part, you got the Avengers involved, you got T'Challa having to balance everything while not being king, but still people treating him as though he is king. So many pieces to it, which is great. That's what makes for a great series, when you can have all those pieces come together fluidly.
Ultimately, maybe think you have to say that the Ta-Nehisi Coates run that preceded this is probably slightly better, just because it's more... That said, I definitely enjoyed the John Ridley run more than I enjoyed the Ta-Nehisi Coates run. Not that I didn't enjoy the Ta-Nehisi Coates, it's just not my favorite. But yeah, this is still a good run. It's, you know, it's a worthy successor. I would still say my two favorite Black Panther runs are the one that Christopher Priest did in the late 90s. And then the other one is the Jonathan Hickman's New Avengers comics, which has a lot of Panther in it. Those would be my two favorite, I think.
I may have to give that Avengers run a chance at some point, Bob. I know it's long, but...
It's, oh man, I think it would be 15 installments.
Wow.
Because you've got to read not just the new Avengers comic, but the Avengers comic that was coming alongside it.
Yeah, maybe we could do the highs and lows.
It's a great run, but man, it's so long. Thanks for joining us on Canny Treks Comics Watch. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a great night, everyone.